One of my favorite teachers in seminary was a professor named Dr. Callion. He was a very reserved man, but about once a week he would turn into Billy Graham and get very enlivened and enthusiastic about one particular subject. He said that he found that subject repeated in the Bible a lot and repeated in the health of his own soul a lot of times. And he would make this statement: Jesus, his life, and the forgiveness of sins is the central absolute truth of the whole Bible. So, and then that changed the way he taught almost immediately. Jesus, his life, and his forgiveness of sins is the central absolute truth of the whole Bible. And when he talked about that, he became a better teacher. It hit him at the level of his thinking. It hit him at the level of his emotions. Certainly got a little more emotional during the class. And the best of all for me at that time was he treated the class a lot better when he spoke on Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. And looking back, I often thought about him, and I would wonder occasionally, I wonder why that was so dear to his soul. I mean, he obviously walked with the Lord for a long time. Did he have a horrific past of sin that Jesus and his forgiveness were so important to him? Did he have a guilt complex? Did he feel like God was out to get him? Or what was the struggle that he had that made his soul so bright when he talked about God forgiving him? Well, I think for him, every day the forgiveness of sins meant spiritual life or spiritual death, something that he would feel in his own soul. And I think for him, it was the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of sin, and how he would feel and how he would think throughout the day when he thought about his own relationship with God. So in the book of Ephesians, fairly early, Paul says, God lavished upon us grace, and in Christ we have redemption. God buys us back through the shed blood of his Son, and gives us the forgiveness of sins. So it's pretty early in the list of gifts that we have, as Paul would call spiritual blessings. Okay, spiritual blessings from Christ. If you go through the whole Bible, you'll find that phrase forgiven, forgave, forgive about 115 times. Primarily, God's action to us, and then we learn that from him toward other people. Okay, and even toward our own soul. So I'd like for the Lord, just taking that phrase, the forgiveness of sins, to have that truth do for us what it did for Dr. Callion, and perhaps could be our experience on a daily basis between us and the Lord, seeing it's a critical work that he has accomplished for us in the death of his Son, in the cross of Jesus. So let some of these truths hit your heart as if Jesus were speaking to you one-on-one. Picked out a couple phrases, all spoken by Jesus in regards to God's forgiveness of us. Jesus looks at a paralytic early in Mark's gospel and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So you've got to hear Jesus saying that to you this day and each day you walk with him. "Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven." Or this phrase to somebody in big trouble: "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus speaks to your soul that way. Or, at a time where you are feeling far from God or are far from God, bring the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his finger. Jesus would speak to your soul that way. Or this powerful prayer. John had a great class on the great high priest praying for us. That's Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's when we are at our worst. He comes with the forgiveness of sins, a power we don't have. Or when we are a long way off, someone runs to us, throws their arms around us, and kisses us. And when Jesus told that story, the someone was God. So in our relationship with God, that forgiveness of sins can do that for our soul. And for our walk. And probably, I would think highly, for our motive for our obedience to God. We say, He did this, and I therefore want to surrender my heart to Christ. Imagine what it would feel like if the person you treated the worst in your life responded to you like those Bible verses. They come, they give you the best robe you ever saw, giving you the ring on the finger thing, and they're saying, we have to celebrate you being here with me, and really sincerely meaning it. Well, that's exactly what God does for us in Jesus, every step of the way that we know Him. Certainly when we receive Him, but also daily in our relationship with Him. When God forgives, the Bible lets us know it means the debt is canceled. That's important. We wouldn't want to bypass that. Something I could never pay, Jesus pays it all. All to Him I own. I owe. And it means also to cover with something that God would do. It also means for our own obedience to be set free. So in the Bible, forgiveness and freedom go together. Something that would catch our own soul on fire. To be free to follow God in a relationship with Him is connected to the forgiveness He gives us. Because His Son would do that for us. Most often it's not connected to additional rules and regulations. Not connected certainly to human effort. And not connected to beginning with the Holy Spirit and ending with our own works. No, it's from what God would do for us and how He passes that on to us. That forgiveness of sins that Dr. Callion got all hepped up about there. So why would Jesus, for example, go to the cross for the forgiveness of sins and go through all the sacrifice that He did and the pain there? It was because that our sin problem was going to be the central problem of our lives on any given day. That was going to be our central problem. Even as a believer, we will have that old sin nature still harass us, still try to take control of our lives on a regular basis. It doesn't need to rule our lives anymore because Jesus is Lord. But it will drag us down and rob us of feeling, you know, any kind of closeness with God whatsoever. So the forgiveness of sins won by Christ is a powerful work that the hymn book and Thane and Evan's song, you know, he makes us new and He is making us new. So He's working that forgiveness in that person of Jesus into our soul as we go. The Bible gives a sad and tragic and realistic picture of our sin. And this is something that all of us should know. And ironically, we understand it more so the longer we walk with the Lord. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more we realize how big and serious our sin problem is. Here's the way God describes it in a few places. And again, it's not just a legal issue between us and God. It's not just He comes to us and says, you know, you owe me a debt you can't pay. And so my son will pay it, and now let's just, you know, like the IRS guy says, you're covered. It's more of a personal relationship than that. Okay, it's loved one to loved one, and something seriously has gone wrong. That's the forgiveness of sins. God says, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 2, what fault did you find in me to turn away from me? So God says, well, when there's no forgiveness that you've received, there's something in your soul that pushes me away. You and I find a fault in God, and we rebel against Him. Jesus said in John chapter 3, men hate the light because their deeds were evil. So instead of saying, I need Jesus and give me the forgiveness, I stay away from the light of Christ and His work. Because my deeds are evil, I'm either unaware of them because they blind me, or I don't want to admit them. John 15, Jesus makes it so much more personal. He actually says that people who turn away from Him and reject Him and His forgiveness, just using Jesus' words, hate God without reason. So the condition of our soul is not just one of, oh, we slipped up a few times, you know, to err is human, And we just have a few problems. At least most of us aren't in big trouble. But Jesus says, you know, that sin thing shows that there's a hatred in your soul toward Him without a reason. There's no good reason for it other than trying to push God out of our lives. That our sin nature is a declaration of war against God and a personal rejection of Him. And if you think of it on our own level, were you ever rejected by a loved one or somebody close to you? It's very, very painful. Even if you go to work, you work with the same people for 10 years, and then, you know, there's a pink slip on your desk, and you say, get your stuff out of here in an hour. At that point, you're concerned about the, you know, where are you going to eat next month, but at the time, it's a massive feeling of being pushed away, rejection. How about if a parent does that to a person? Say, oh, who can I count on? What about a brother or a sister? What about another Christian? Rejection is a terrible thing. God is saying when we sin, that's how He feels. It is a personal rejection. And he responds to us surprisingly by not saying, well, then forget you. He responds to us by moving toward us with what His Son has done on our behalf, the forgiveness of sins, that would open our eyes up again to His great love and person and move to Him. So the forgiveness sets us free from the chip on our shoulder we have against God. As a strong Christian, you think of the Billy Graham ministry, for example. All those guys who were in that ministry for so many years. By the way, George Beverly Shea turns 103 this week. Pretty good. You know, he's singing about the cross. He's singing about forgiveness. And that team, they knew they needed Christ and God's forgiveness every day, because that's what they would proclaim when they asked these people to make these decisions. But so when we meet, God gets the chip on our shoulder against God off of us in forgiveness. We meet Jesus through the forgiveness of sins. We walk with Jesus as a forgiven person. And just to give you a couple examples quickly of Christians who struggle with God's forgiveness, how does that begin to show up in our souls? We either forget it or minimize it. Well, we may struggle with feeling of being weighed down with guilt. We carry that around and we don't know how we're going to get that off of us. Maybe I should do better. You have a feeling that we would never measure up. That sticks with us. We have a feeling of shame about our own selves. We perhaps begin to struggle with legalism. Well, if I don't feel forgiven, with graces, it doesn't make graces very good at that point, since you're slaving away to get it. You'll also struggle with license. When you hear of how wonderful Christ is and His forgiveness, if there's a minimizing of that or rejection, to heaven. And pray in our souls to instead to have a conviction of sin, which draws us to God, as opposed to guilt and shame, which hides us from God and His help. If you try to hide from God, you're running away from the forgiveness. Because when He brings forgiveness, He's not hiding from you. He's approaching you at that point. Listen to these comments made by a few Christians who wrote letters to a pastor named Steve Brown, good teacher down in Florida. So he received this letter. I don't like who I am. I want to be different. This person's a church person. I've tried to talk to people in the church about my problems, but they can't handle my sin. So now I feel rejected by God too. If you felt rejected by other believers, you might think, ooh, God has a much higher standard than these dear loved ones. So I can imagine He's really on my case. Here's another letter. I can't always smile and feel close to God. I get depressed, I get afraid, I get angry with God. But I need a God who meets me where I am, not one who throws lightning bolts at me when I am not where I should be. Okay. So to know the forgiveness of sins at any given moment offered through Jesus from the cross. And then here's one where the corner has been turned. If I'm really forgiven, I'm free to pray and listen to God in the Bible. I want to do this. There's no pressure to do this. I want to do this. Jesus, who is the door, is open to me. I'm even free to fall down because God's love for me is far greater than my sin. So they're not hesitant before God. They're glad before God. Like you are at home around your greatest loved ones. With respect to God and with respect for God at home in His presence like that. The forgiveness gift, I think we could apply it to the verse described in Hebrews that describes Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we are forgiven yesterday, past, present, and future of our sins from the cross. We are forgiven today as we talk to Jesus about that and confess. And we will be forgiven in the future when we need His help. And He says, welcome home as we go to heaven through Christ. God forgives, and it's good news for the human soul. God forgives for His sake. It's part of His honor. It's part of sticking up for His Son who paid the penalty for all our sin. God forgives for God's sake, not just to make us feel better, pat us on the head and say, try to do better next week. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, you're free in Christ, now walk with my Son. To put it really out on a limb here, which I think it needs to be, is that because of the forgiveness of Jesus, and we only see this because God said so, it's impossible otherwise, I think. Because of the forgiveness of Jesus, and you really trust Him and know Him, you are as righteous now in God's sight as you ever will be. You are as righteous now in God's sight as you ever will be. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you will live that out in different ways. That's good. But don't think you're going to be any more righteous than His Son and what His Son did for you. To be known by God and received just like you would Jesus. A gift only Jesus would offer us. As righteous before God as you'll ever be. Three verses in closing of how it can impact our life and did so in the Bible. One was, again, when Jesus worked with a paralyzed man. Here's a man, he's paralyzed. He needs a miracle. First thing Jesus says to him is, son, your sins are forgiven. Everybody says, you can't do that. But can the guy walk? Jesus heals the guy and then pretty much spends the rest of the time saying, hey, folks, when I forgave him, that was a bigger deal than when I had him walk. Okay, that was a miracle that Jesus did. Applied to our own souls, the miracle of forgiveness, what it means to us, if we were to die physically and be in the grave 4 days and raised physically from the dead, that everybody would say, wow, that was about the biggest miracle I ever saw. Jesus would say, I'll tell you a bigger miracle. I forgive the guy all his sins, and he's going to be with me forever in heaven. We appreciate God when He does a miracle or a healing, and those gifts are only, you know, they're for 50 years, 90 years. Praise the Lord. When He forgives your sins, it's for eternity. That's the biggest miracle you're ever going to know. And so you and I say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me I could never do for myself. The paralyzed man couldn't go to Christ on his own. Jesus had to come to him. Would you invite Jesus to come to you? And then, second picture, after Jesus rises from the dead, He appears to His disciples on a Sunday night, Easter night, and says to them, peace be with you. Now think of who these guys are. 2 days earlier, they said, we're gone. We don't know them. We don't want to be around them. We're heading for the hills. Jesus' first encounter with them, he says, peace be still. Reaching out to them with God's work on their behalf, even before they had a chance to say, no, we weren't very good back there, by the way, Lord, following you. The forgiveness of sins given. And as Micah says, Micah chapter 7, God throws our sins into the depths of the sea. A great illustration last week by Shelley about the sea and what we don't know and how God puts it where we won't know. Removes our sins far as east is from the west. There was a time in my life where, because of the religious atmosphere I was raised in, every time I came to church, I would repeat these verses. I would say, God, remove my sin as far as east is from the west. Thank you, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sins. And thank you, there's no condemnation in Christ. They were truths for my soul, but I needed them all the time, not just, you know, when I came to church. And I think God wants us to have that all the time. Last wonderful picture of the forgiveness of God coming to you and I this morning. And we wish that for ourselves and for people we want to see come to the Lord. These are just things that show. You'll recognize the story. God welcoming the prodigal son. This has a lot of detail in it. I like the robe. Get the robe and put it on you. Let's say you had a horrible week this week with the Lord. And you wake up, you know, it doesn't have to be Sunday evening. You wake up Monday and you think, I mean, the conviction of sin is on me. What in the world is God going to do with me today? And God's standing there with a robe, you know. It's not your shower robe. He's saying, get this robe on because this belongs to you. This is from me and my son, and this is yours. And get the ring and put it on the finger. I like this one here. There's one guy who's not excited. There he is. He says, I don't know, what's all this forgiveness stuff? This is a bunch of bunk. I don't know about forgiveness. I'm not excited about that. Here, everybody else is excited, and comically, even the calf is excited, but he's for supper later, if you know the story. But God welcoming you. Okay, God welcoming you. God welcoming the lost sinner. Here's another. That's pretty powerful. Because the Bible says he wrapped his arms around him and gave him a hug and a kiss. You know, the Bible would teach us, because of the forgiveness of sins, you're welcome. You're as welcome into God's presence as Jesus is. I could picture that being a father and this being Jesus, can't you? But instead, in this picture, this is God and this is you and I. How in the world did we get in the Father's arms? He came running down the road for us. That was tremendous. And we're welcomed by God. He wants to put his hand on us for acceptance, blessing, closeness, fellowship. And I put this one last because when you feel still fairly far away from God, I don't think I need forgiveness too much. I'm not sure what I need. Remember the son, what he was going to say. Just let me work in the barn. He didn't even think the guy would love him. But when he was the farthest away, forgiveness of sins making no impact whatsoever on his life, Father comes and lets it make an impact again. God runs to each of us. And so in our closing prayer, for your own soul, would you say, Lord, let me feel about the forgiveness of sins like you do at the cost of your son, at the rejoicing you would feel if I would say, I think I need that, and I don't even know how badly I need that. And from there, I certainly want to walk with God and learn how to celebrate what He's doing in our life. And all to the glory of His Son. Remember the theme of Ephesians, the glory of Christ in the church? Well, doesn't Jesus get a lot of glory for everybody He forgave at the cross and forgives today? We thank Him for that.